It's called, it's a lightning round.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
It's a Thursday lightning round. It might be late, but the Huskies are coming to town, and we're going to be knocking things down because it's the lightning round.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
I have something in my eye. It's going to be hard to read my notes.
I don't need to know that information.
Nearly 2 weeks after the USC-Wazoo game was played, it's making headlines for all the wrong reasons. In the third quarter, Trojan QB JT Daniels took a knee in the middle of a play and was hit in the head seconds later after giving himself up by the Cougars' Logan Tago with his head. Both in-stadium officials and Pac-12 officials in their headquarters ruled that the hit was indeed targeting. Then an untrained Pac-12 official, Woody Dixon, who is a VP of Business Affairs, phoned in and ended up overruling both officials. This does nothing but add more fuel to the fire for hashtag Pac-12 refs. Having an untrained referee make this kind of impact on a call as serious as targeting is a big deal, little deal, or no deal for the Pac-12.
Well, it's such a big deal that at Pac-12 Basketball Media Day, it was one of the topics that was addressed first by Larry Scott, and they are implementing an immediate change to the rule and how it's determined from the game center to the booth to the field and eliminating any outside influence. So it's huge.
Huge. Jay Ajayi tore his ACL on Sunday, leaving the Eagles with Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood to lead their backfield tonight against the Gigantes. After Ajayi news was announced, the Eagles reconstructed the contract of defensive tackle Fletcher Cox, saving the Eagles almost $6 million for the rest of the season, surprisingly close to the amount of money that Steelers holdout Le'Veon Bell makes. The Steelers front office has said that they're open to the idea of trading Bell, and the Eagles need a running back and have the money now to pay him. What percent chance do you give Bell of being traded to Philly?
By the way, is this still going on?
Yes.
If somebody would have told me we're having this conversation about what we're going to do with Le'Veon Bell October 11th, I'd be like, are we in like a time warp of some kind? So what was the question again? I'm so confused.
What percent chance do you give Bell being traded to Philly?
You know, I would have said none up until now, but now I'm going to go 1-4, so 25%.
All right. At 2-3, the Cowboys are falling into the same hole that the Cowboys have been in for what feels like the last 12 years. They're hovering around 500 with the whole nation hyping them up as America's team of the early 90s because for 5 years they were really good in January. Stephen Jones says that the Cowboys coaching staff is not coaching for their jobs despite an actual horrible coaching decision by Jason Garrett not to give the ball to Zeke Elliott because, quote, it was a long 1 yard on 4th-and-1 inside the Texans' half of the field last Sunday. Garrett took over full-time for the Cowboys in 2011. He has 2 seasons with more than 10 wins and is just barely over 500 for his career. What percent chance do you give this being Jason Garrett's final season in Dallas?
If they end up totally out of it, I think even Chuckles the Clown, Jarrah, has got to make a move and say that's it. I don't think, even though they're in a very mediocre division with Neanderthal offenses, they're going to turn it around much. I mean, they're struggling. Their offensive line is a shell. Their defense isn't bad.
They have no wide receivers.
I know, but I just think Jerry Jones likes this guy because he gets to play semi-coach and general manager with him, and there's nothing the coach can do because he's just happy to have his job. So I give it 50-50.
Oh, okay. It has been 334 days since Julio Jones last scored a touchdown. It came against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a game where Julio also caught a touchdown pass from Mohamed Sanu. That one game against Tampa was 2/3 of his touchdown outage last season. And Jones, in his so far this year, has 564 yards and, of course, 0 touchdowns. Julio has taken the Buccaneers for 117 yards a game on average over 12 games in his career and 10 touchdowns, the most, against any team he plays against. What percent chance do you give Julio scoring a touchdown this weekend?
It's October, it's an NFL game, and Julio Jones still has Matt Ryan as quarterback?
That is true.
75%.
I hope you're right. I have no idea what is going on in Minnesota. Jimmy Butler at one point said he was actually willing to be a Brooklyn Net, and now he is saying he will only be a Miami Heat player. And at the same time, he's telling the rest of the Timberwolves players that they can't win without him and they need him despite him not wanting to play with them. The current situation in Minnesota is blank.
Props for Timberwolves, by the way.
You're welcome.
That is fantastic.
You know what? I'm going to call this...
It's not my word.
Staged.
Oh!
The entire situation is staged by Jimmy the Butler did it.
All right, last one. For the first time ever in the history of the Pac-12 basketball preseason poll, both men's and women's teams predicted to win the season title are from the same school. That school is, of course, Oregon. What percent chance do you give both men's and women's basketball here at Oregon winning the Pac-12?
Yeeks.
The sweep?
I think the women will win it. I'm a little more skeptical of the men because they're just adding a lot of new parts. So I'm giving the women a 75% chance. So I'm giving the men a 50% chance. So I'm going 62.5%.
It's very specific and, again, very nerdy of you to do math on the fly.
Get those nerds!
Nerd!
Nerd!
I like being kind of a math nerd. You're really not insulting me with that one.